I want to confess to you right now that I'm a little weak. I'm not talking spiritually, but I'm physically just a little bit weak. And so anyway, I'm dependent upon God, who has called us to do whatever we're to do. And am I asking for any of your help right here? Send up a little prayer for me. I have, for some time, a whole lot of messages, a whole lot of things that I could speak on, and I could preach on right here, but it just keeps coming back to me right here. Stay with Jesus. Stay with the Lord. And so anyway, in studying and examining the scriptures right here, I landed on this very common little scripture here, Matthew, the 4th chapter. And we've all heard it. I've heard it maybe 1,000 times in my life. And there may not be anything new here, but God wants us to consider his eternal truth. He wants us to examine and re-examine and keep looking at and keep having it in front of you, the Word. And of course, the Bible says the Word was made flesh and the Word was God and was with God. Well, here's Jesus right here, and fresh out of young manhood. Have no idea just exactly how old he was, maybe 30, 31. But he's, however old he was, he's ready. And he's ready to accept the challenge. And I'll tell you what, this is one of many challenges that he accepted. And this is mighty. Now this is a test. Test for him and for us. Whatever Jesus did, the Bible says there, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he's going to show us here. He's going to, if he had me sitting down, he'd be saying, Randy, listen up, watch, emulate. And so is there lessons in here? Boy, there are. Probably one lesson right here, it would be our temptation or our trial. If you haven't been tried or if you haven't been tempted, stand by, you will. And maybe not just once. Temptation that we suffer and the trials that we suffer, but also, if I can say this in a way that can understand it right here, God is tempted. And you're going to see this in just a little bit. And then I think the third point of several points that could be made out of this scripture right here is one of idolatry. Jesus is going to show this. He's going to examine. He's going to take that fact of life, of temptation that we face. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you I went through it. I've got it. It happens to me. It will happen to you. How do you deal with it? How do you overcome it? What is the remedy of your temptation? He may show us here. Temptation of God. We tempt God. And God is tempted to do something. And then that third point of many is idolatry is, what do we do with our lives materially? What do we do with our money? What's happening in our material life, our carnal life? Let's talk about it. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Now, unless I misunderstand this, he's led by God, his Father. He's led by the Spirit. Come on, Jesus, I'm going to take you to the wilderness. I'm going to take you to a dry and a foreboding place. I'm going to take you somewhere that is dark and loathsome and dreary. We're going to go here And we're going to go in that place right here, and we're going to see what kind of stuff you're made out of. Because there's always a test. If you've been in school, not like schools today, when I was going to school right here, you took a test right here, and the teacher is going to, after that test, he's going to be either wagging his finger at you right here and says, you didn't do very good. I can tell you're not listening. I can tell you didn't hear me when I was talking. The material that you had to read, right, I can tell that you didn't pay much attention. Or if I did good, well done. That was good. You did good. Always a test. And so he's led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, the Bible says God tempteth no man, but the devil tempts. And the devil is going to take what you've got and what God permits right here, and he's going to take that up and down the scrub board of life. And we're going to see, he says. We're going to see how religious you are. We're going to see if all the church going and all the Bible reading and all the praying, we're going to see if it had any effect. Because what is the devil saying? You're going to fail. I'm going to take you and I'm going to produce the real you, and you're going to discover for yourself you're not a Christian and you're not a follower like you think you are, and we will see. So he's tempted of the devil. And what's our temptations? What kind of temptations do we have in this world that we live in? How are we dealing with the temptations? Sometimes it's easy to say, that ain't no temptation. I don't feel a thing. Trouble begins from the outside going in. Trouble begins when it's not real dangerous right here, but the devil's doing this just a little bit further. Just a little closer. And oftentimes we're thinking, I don't feel the heat. I don't feel the deviltry. I don't feel there's anything going on. I just like getting a little closer to the fire. And so Jesus was tempted of the devil. And because he was part man and part God, he was tempted. But he didn't sin. He went through the fire. He was in the wilderness. And it's about time. And I don't know if there was ever a signal, but there was probably something that said that Jesus, 1, 2, 3, here he comes, your enemy. And so Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, in the Bible, and maybe more than that right here, but Moses fasted on the mountain there for 40 days and 40 nights. But fasting right here tells me that's pretty important. He knew that he was about to be tempted by the greatest tempter and by the greatest amount of temptation that could be imagined, could be endured by a human soul. And what he's saying, I've got to be ready for that. And I'm going to fast. And this fasting right here, was he hungry? He's fasting for food. He's not fasting from going to the picture show. He's not fasting from eating crinkles. He's fasting from food right here. And afterwards, he is hungry. That's where the devil wants him, right there. Devil's not going to come in on him on the second day of the fast. Devil's not going to come in there, he said, well, I know he's pretty strong. And he has the capacity to go 40 days right here. And I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to get near. I'm not going to tempt him right here until I know even Jesus is going to be hungry. But what is he fasting? Well, I tell you what, if I'm talking to one or two of you if I'm talking to you, and my wife is behind me right here and says, Randy, you know, dinner's ready. Well, if I'm talking to you right here, I'm not really hearing her. I got to pull back, at least I do. I got to pull back. Say, just a minute, my wife is talking. What is it, dear? Dinner is ready. Well, fasting right here, in my way of looking at it, that's how we perceive the voice of God, because we are deluged with all kind of distractions. All kind of stuff are coming in and zooming around and coming into our ears and coming into our thoughts, and we're seeing sights, and all kind of stuff are pulling on us. And I'm not implying anything evil right here. I'm just saying we're that way. And something has to happen that says, Randy, pay attention. Pay attention. I'm talking. I'm going to do something. And so Jesus has emulated. He has shown us he is the way. He says, when you're going through your trial, when you're about to be tempted, you need to pull away from all the distractions. You need to get away by yourself right here, and you need to forget your hungry body that the belly's growling right here and says, oh, I'm hungry. You know, there was a movie that I saw. Boy, that Jessica, you know the name of that movie, Closet, or what was the movie we've talked about? War Room. I would never recommend a movie to nobody. I just don't. But I might this one. And this woman right here, she's going to fight the battle of her life. She knows it. And she had a mentor woman, godly woman, comes up and says, you got to separate and you got to get together by yourself in your war room. And you got to seek God. She said, well, I can do that. So she got in her war room and she got her Cheetos and her Fritos and her soda pop and she got, you know, her diary, and she got everything there, you know, be able to survive in this time that she's in her little war room. Nobody knows she's in there. She's in there by herself right here, and it's going nowhere. Because she's feeding her body, and her mind is distracted, and she's thinking about other things right here, and she can't get close to God. Later on, she said, this is a real battle. I've got to do something dramatic. And she got in her war room. And she closed the doors. And her and her God, just then, and her prayers started going up. And the enemy started departing. And solutions began to come because she was fasting from carnality and materialism. And she's ready and set, and God is ready to hear her because she means business. Jesus meant business. 40 days of it. But he's in a weakened condition physically. He's weakened. And boy, the devil knows that. And he could hear him coming. Here I come. And so after that, he was hungered. So the devil comes to him, and you see that yellow if there. Well, you know, that voice has been heard before. If you remember in the first part of your Bible there, Adam and Eve, and here is Eve right here. And did God say that you will surely die? Did God really say that? Well, here's the devil doing that with Jesus. If, I don't think so, but if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I know you're hungry. In fact, as I know, Jesus, that whatever mama could make, her homemade bread with melted butter all over that, just piping hot coming out of the oven right here. I know that you can get a loaf of bread that is far superior to what she ever made. I know you're hungry. Just take those stones right here and just command them that they would be bread. Because the devil knows just exactly where to get us. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows what our hungers are. He knows where our weaknesses are. And Jesus, you've got to be weak. You, ain't no way in the world you can go another day. You are starving to the max right here. Just pick up one of those stones there. And it'll be bread. You don't have to endure this any longer. You don't have to suffer. Your suffering can be done with. What's wrong with a little loaf of bread? And what was the way, the truth, and the life? What was his answer? I'll go another 40 days. You're not going to get me to do anything. And here's an important word. It is written. The world knows nothing. The world knows, does not have any answers to any of the conundrums of life. The world does not know where to go, don't know what philosopher to listen to. They don't know somebody that's got their head on right. They don't know where to go right here because there is no good advice except that which is written that comes from the throne of God. What we have here in the Word of God right here is just like I said there in the first chapter of John right here. In the beginning was the Word. And so the Word is his mind, his solution to every decision that we've got to make. It's there. And we can find the solution. We can find the antidote to the pain and the hunger and the suffering. So Jesus says it is written. Well, you can find in your little search of life, I'll guarantee you that whatever your search is, you want a boyfriend, you want a girlfriend, you want to get over pain, you want knowledge, you want wisdom, you want deliverance, you want to be sent, whatever it may be right here, those answers are right out of the throne of God down through these pages to you, empowered by the Spirit of God. It is written. I remember hearing when I was going to college right here, There was a young girl right here, and she was mightily tempted and wrought upon by this wicked young man. And she silenced him by the word of God. And he went scurrying off into the darkness by what she said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What do you think that means? You cannot live by just working at your job and going to worlds of fun and then coming home and watching the TV and going to bed. You can't do that. All you got to do is look around and see those who try, and they're everywhere. The truth and the life is that most people are doing that. Most people are doing this, that they are working their lives and their life is ticking by and they're wearing their bodies out. And just like we had a conversation this morning right here, time is going on and it can't be stopped and it can't be slowed down. Man, I don't know what the deal is here. All right, you'll have to keep pointing at me because I didn't know that. It's different on me. And so anyway, you cannot do that. I'm messed up here. Mine says something different here. I'm trying. Yeah. And so anyway, he's hungry. See, it's two different streams here. I don't know what in the world. Okay, the verse is the ninth verse, Matthew 4 and 9 right here. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is what I want right here, and this is the Matthew 4th chapter and the 4th verse. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and that probably doesn't say that. All right, sorry. We're just going to go to the Bible. Okay, and so the point that I'm trying to make right here is that Jesus says right here, man, in the 4th verse, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We can't do that. You cannot live. You're not living. You're suffering. You are receiving the recompense of your suffering right here if you try to break this law. And the law is that you cannot live by bread alone. You can't do it by yourself. You can't work your job. You can't live in the world. You have no power, you've got no might, you've got no direction in your life right here, if that's what you're trying to do. And most people, I'll guarantee you, and you might be sitting there in your pew thinking the same thing. If you don't have God mixed in with your life, if you don't have the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, if you don't have that, if it's not directing, if it's not leading you right here, if you don't have that perspective right here, you are slowly going downhill. And you're wondering what's happened. Why is that happening? Why does that occur? And so this is this reason right here, is this is the reason why we come to church. This is the reason why we study the Word of God, why you hear the minister, why you have your Sunday school class, why you pray in prayer service, why you bear your testimonies right here, because you know that. I can't do that and just live on the world and at the tap of the world. I can't do that. Well, I want to give a little example. If I could find it, I've got to show you this. Yeah, it's not. All right. Well, I got it right here, bigger than life. Yeah. Help me out there, D.A. Yeah, I did pause it.
Unpause it.
This was the black screen right here that I hit right there.
I'm gonna make it worse.
That's the one. All right, hot dog. We can't do this by ourselves. I want to tell you, I can't. And proof right there, I cannot do it by myself. All right. So I've got a little model right here I want to show you. I made this up right here, and I think there's 168 hours in a week. All right. And what I want to do is I'm going to use church attendance as a model of how we're serving the Lord as opposed to serving the world. Okay, 160 hours a week right here. On average, on Sunday morning, there are 4 hours. On Sunday p.m., there are 2 hours. That means 6 hours. And on Wednesday, there are 2 hours. So you have a total of church attendance, basically, of about 8 hours in a week. Now, if you put that to an equation or a percentage, a good Church of Christ person attending all the services, that means you're here, you were here for Sunday school class, you were here for church, and you're going to come back tonight. And then come this Wednesday, like Jim said right here, we got a service there, you're going to be here. That's a total of 8 hours right here. Your percentage right here would be 4.76% of your life is you're giving that to God. I mean, I know this is not tremendous, you know, but it's something to look at. So those of you who are good church attenders, those of you who go to church in the morning, on Sunday morning and in the evening, and then come Wednesday right here, according to this little equation right here, good church Christ person attending services, you're at 4.76%. 4.76 of your life you have given to God. Well, let's go further a little bit. A mediocre church attender, you know who you are, is I may go 4 hours a week. So I may go 2 hours in the morning, and I may go 2 hours at the prayer service. Or I may go 4 hours here at Sunday right here, but I don't go to prayer service. Your percentage is 2.38. So 2.38, God's looking at all these figures right here, and he's looking at it right here and says, oh, it's 2.38 person right here. Or even 4.76, the good Church of Christ member right here, 4.76 is not blazing. But that's what we would consider good church attendance. A non-believer right here is zero. God looking down right here, if you use this as a model right here, he ain't no good. I mean, he don't do nothing. He's zero here in the morning. He's zero in the evening. He's zero on Wednesday right here. He's zero. Now, I want to, if you look down at the bottom right there, you're going to see that little passage there of tithing, Malachi. I'm not going to talk about money, but Malachi does talk about money. But what it talks about in the first five words right here, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, we had Becky and I, we got together with a gal who, business gal, Saturday, Becky, whatever, a couple of days ago. Anyway, we got together with this gal, and boy, she's telling me, she says, you know what? She says, I have Bible studies in my house. In fact, as we got so big right here, that when we bought this house, I told my husband right here, he says, I want a dining room because there's going to be people in that dining room filling it up. There's going to be people in other parts of our house going to be filling it up right here, and they do it. So the women, they have this get-together, and the women get together in the dining room. The men are in the den right here, and they have their study, and then they come together as one big deal and continue having studies right here. And she believes in tithing. Good Methodist woman. Well, I'm going to tell you what my take on tithing is. Tithing is 10%. But in my opinion, what God is looking for, he says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, right? If you love the Lord right here, you're going to give a tithe of your life. You're going to give, it's a good start right here. I'm going to give God 10% of my time. I'm going to give him of my day right here. I'm going to give him if I've got a day right here, I'm going to give him 10% of that day. I'm going to give him 10% of my praying time. All this is going to come together right here, 10%. Well, if you look back up there at the good Church of Christ person right here, 4.76 right here is less than half of what a biblical, in my way of thinking, a biblical time given to God, seeking him first, 10%. Now here's hold. I'm going to try to go to the next slide here. All right. Okay. Fifth verse of Matthew 4, fifth verse, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Now, I may be stretching this just a little bit, but here the devil has got Jesus, and Jesus is a willing, well, he's not resisting the devil on where he's being taken. And the devil says, I'm going to take you up here on the very top. And so the devil takes Jesus up on the very top right here. And he's taking him up on top, and here's my little way of looking at it. You're going to take him to the top right here, and he says, now you're way up here. Now look way down there, and look who's gathering around. Well, it's all the saints, all the believers, all the Jews, all the Pharisees, all the Sadducees, all the folks right here are coming around, and they're looking way up right here, and they're seeing you. Now, Jesus Here's what I'd like for you to do, because if you are the Son of God, remember, you haven't convinced me yet. But if you really are, then why don't you just drop down? I have no idea how tall that was. I've seen the walls of the rebuilt city right here. Boy, they're pretty big, pretty tall right here. And if you did have a pinnacle, as he's talking right here, you know, you're way up there. So he's way up right here and he said, okay, now Jesus, you know, because the word of God has said that if you stub your toe, that the angels are going to be sent to lift you up. And so if Jesus does this, the angels probably wouldn't show up. And if Jesus does this, this is the devil's plan, right? There's going to be just a big, ugly thing on the pavement. And that's what the devil wants. He wants your demise. The Bible says from the beginning, the devil was a murderer and a liar. He wants to kill you. And he wants Jesus to go down as an example of those who listen to me and who, I'm sorry, but that's what happened to you. But Jesus himself is not going to do it. When we are faced with those temptations to tempt God, God probably is not going to come to our rescue. I was listening on the radio about the hurricane down there in Corpus Christi, down there in Texas, and I heard that the mayor of the city, it was either I think it was Corpus Christi, but the mayor of the city says, I'd like to say something. I encourage all of you to leave your homes and go to high ground. I'm telling you, for every reasonable, wise thing to do is to get out of town. Get out of there. The storm is coming. 40 inches of rain are going to hit you right here. You have got to leave right here. Do not think or mislead yourself that somehow you can weather this out. I think I can. In fact, I'm going to stay in my little house right here. We got a pretty tall roof right here, and I think it's going to be okay. I bought some water. I've got some food supplies right here, and I'm going to make it. And I don't need any help. Well, yeah, you will. And that mayor was saying right here, he said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You ride on your arms who you are right here, so when we come and pick you up, we know who you are. After you're drowned, washed away. Tempting the mayor, tempting fate, tempting God. That's done every day. I believe that I can walk close to the edge right here and teeter-totter right here, and I don't think that I'm going to stumble. I think that I can go places right here that, yeah, you know, some people and some of you goody-two-shoes right here probably wouldn't go there, but I can go there. It won't bother me. I don't, you know, I'm not affected by that. I remember talking to a young man right here, and he was talking just like that. He says, I can do that, and I'm married, and I can do that, and that's not going to be any problem. And he did it, and it was a problem. I can turn my TV on. And the Bible says right here, it says, who's going to be on the eternal fire, I think it's the 29th chapter of Isaiah right here. Who can dwell with consuming fire? Those that close their ears from hearing of evil and they close their eyes from seeing of evil. When I turn my TV on, can I not see wickedness to the max? Am I looking at it right there? And if I'm looking at it, and if I persist in doing that, and I'm looking at those things, I'm hearing of blood, I'm hearing of all kind of ghastly things right here. Do you think that I'm not tempting God? Thou shalt not, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we've got to do something and allow, it is written that we'll worship the Lord God and Him only. And we're not going to go into willingly. We're not going to go into on our own volition into something that is forbidden. Same with going out to eat, the same with mixing with the world, the same with playing cards with your buddies, the same with bowling, whatever it may be. And I'm not advocating totally shutting down, but I tell you what, there is a way and there's a life to live. And we need to find out and we need to live that life. We need to live the life according to as it is written. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And do you think that the devil's, did that shut him up? Shut him up just a little bit. But he's going to give it one more shot. He's not done with us yet. Again, the devil taketh him up, fourth chapter of Matthew, the 8th verse. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I can't tell you how many, I could probably, maybe on both hands right here, maybe, how many conversations I've had with young people, newly married, and they're plotting out their life. As they're plotting out their life, husband and wife, they're talking to each other, and they say, well, you know, Sacramento, California, boy, they got great job opportunities there. I can get into the valley right there, and man, I can make some real money. Or I can go to New York City, I can go to Chicago, I can go to Boston. Somebody who just recently went to Boston says, don't go to Boston, it's terrible. I don't know what I'm doing here. And if they are connected to God right here, God's going to say there are some things more important than a 50-hour-a-week job, 50 bucks an hour job. And that is your communion, your connection to God and to the saints. How can you put a price on that? How can you put a price on you mamas and daddies right here raising your children? You got your children right here. What kind of price can you pay that the influence and the effect that it has on them from Sunday to Sunday and Wednesday to Wednesday? Kids growing up right here, they don't know any different but coming to church. All they know is, I like it. This is good. I don't get bullied here. I don't get misused here. This is good. They're hearing the word of God. And so what is happening right here, the devil is trying to tell him. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me, him, me. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get into the big bucks. He wants you to get into the high position. He wants you to see far off right here. Boy, oh boy, man, I'm climbing that ladder. I'm on my way to big and great things. I'm going to be an important person. I've got money right here, and everything that I've always wanted and I always dreamed about, I'm going to be able to get because I've sold my soul to the devil. Whenever we're making decisions against the will of God, against the plan of God, against the way of God, right, we're down in the basement looking for light. And here's the devil right here. His promise is, all these things will I give thee. I'm going to give you money and position and power. I'm going to give you all the idolatrous things that you ever dreamed about if you fall down and worship me. There was a movie years ago. It's Blank Yankees, if I can say that. Name of that. And this man, he sat on his chair, and he watched the TV at World Series time, and the New York Yankees always won. And he's tired of them always winning. And he says, I would sell my soul to the devil if I could get our team, Boston, right here, to win over the Blank Yankees. And there appeared Lola. Appeared this beautiful woman. And this woman says, I think that can be done. And he sold his soul to the devil, and he became the best baseball player the world's ever seen. And he got on the team right here, and they're playing the New York Yankees, and he's out there in the outfield right here, and the ball, if he catches this ball or this near home run right here, they have won the game against the New York Yankees. And he's running and running and running, and he catches the ball. They win the World Series right here. And who appeared to collect? Who appeared to collect? It was the devil. And drew it in blood right here. And so that is the problem that we have right here, is that we've got to be careful that the Lord Jesus has told us right here, there are temptations, there are possibilities that we need to avoid. There are things that we need to do. And what we need to do is we need to use the Word of God, and thus saith the Spirit, or it is written. We've got to use that at every turn when the devil comes knocking. And he's there, and he's knocking most of the time. Again, the devil taketh him to the high mountain and showeth him all the things of the world right here. All these things fall down. In the 11th verse, then the devil leaveth him. What does the Bible say? It is written right here. What does the Bible say when you resist the devil? He will flee from you. When you resist the devil, you resist everything that he mounts up against you right here. And if you are resisting him, and if you're saying it is written right here, that the promise is the devil will flee from you. And exactly what happened right here. Jesus showed the way. He showed it just exactly what's going to happen right here. Jesus resisted the devil at every turn that he came, at every opportunity, at every weakness. He resisted him. He was strong in the Lord. And as a result of that, the devil got out of Dodge. He left. What happens next? 11th verse. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came down and ministered unto him. That's the way, and that's the truth. And I'm convinced in the life that we're living right here that it's what I call the hastening time. The time, it says in Jeremiah, I think it is this, it's the day of decision. It's a day to make a choice who you will serve. Of course, Joshua said, what? I don't know who you're going to serve, the gods over the river, but I and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the decision that God's wanting us to make. And that decision is against the world. That decision is against all the persuasions of idolatry and of tempting the Lord right here and of tempting us. All of those decisions, God wants us to forsake that and choose the Lord. And then he'll have a righteous people, a people perfected, people who have been tested. And how good will that sound when our last day comes and you hear that voice? And that voice is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. I want to hear that voice. Well done. You did it well. You were shaky back here yonder. You were weak. You yielded. You sinned, just like Darren sang in his song right here. I'm clean. What a wonderful thing to be told that and to hear that right here from the Lord himself, not from necessarily anybody right here, but the Lord says, well done. I washed you whiter than snow, and you can enter into your rest. I want to enter into that rest. The time of no rest is unthinkable. I'm not going to go into it. But the time that that God has ordained for those that are zero in their affiliation with the Lord, those that don't go to church, those that are making worldly decisions, those that are in idolatry, those that are tempting God, those that are yielding to temptations themselves, there is a place. And we don't like that place. I don't look forward. I would not ever wish it anybody right here where you would be crying and gnashing of teeth in darkness and pain forever. No let up. I think I would be choosing. I choose the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be here where He's want for us to be. I'm going to bless Him. I'm going to bless others. I'm going to grow in love. I'm going to know how to love others as the Lord has loved me. God bless you, and I'm sorry about my crummy computer right here, but that's just the way it is. Thank you.